making clear progress there. He could comfortably bike in the 28th gear and could manage the 31st if he pushed himself. Most of that progress was just his body and Lucrimasol getting used to biking, but he'd take it. The additional ache made work a bit more productive, if not interesting. He was drained enough that his client's blows actually worked his Lucrima a bit. Rick stumbled his way through his shift, then shuffled back outside. It was getting dark, but there was still time left in the day. When he got to the side of the road, it took him several tries to manifest his bike. Rick stared at it blearily, then realized that he was much too tired. Even if he made it out of the city without an accident, he would be too brain dead to accomplish anything. Instead of going out, he headed home and paced himself instead of rushing. Just trying to get up the steps to the second floor, he found himself stumbling and hitting the steps with his shoes. He almost looked as strung out as the meth heads around the apartment complex. Was something draining him? Then again, when he tried to think about how much sleep he'd gotten the previous two nights, he realized that was a more likely explanation. Trying to work two jobs would have been hard enough, but the constant bike training taxed his resources further. He fumbled several times at the lock before getting inside. Melissa was watching television and turned with a smirk on her face, but her eyes widened when she saw him.
Rick, you look like you fell out of the exhaustion tree and hit every branch on the way down.
Exhaustion tree, Rick snorted and stumbled in. His sister quickly came to support him, insistently moving him into the bedroom.
Okay, you obviously need to get more sleep. You take the bed tonight. I command it.
As she eased him down onto the side of the bed, she gave him a concerned look.
Are you sure you want to be pushing yourself this hard? I'm really doing fine, and we have plenty of money. You don't need to run yourself ragged anymore.
If I don't... He trailed off, too tired to put together his thoughts properly. Maybe he was just clinging to old patterns foolishly. Maybe not. So many of the people he was competing with were wealthier, more talented, and more experienced than him. If he didn't do something...
Okay, now is obviously not the time for talking. You rest, okay?
Rick almost heard his snoring before he passed out. Though Rick slept in a long time, he woke up feeling refreshed. He didn't make himself get out of bed right away, instead stretching and yawning. His body ached a bit, but it was getting used to the new rigors of the Lucrim bike. Though that might not be a useful combat ability, he was going to enjoy the benefits if he kept it up. By contrast, right now neither of his jobs were benefiting him much. Working at the House of the Cosmic Fist provided enough money to live, but that was it. Surveying for Lucrim anomalies was providing him nothing at all until he reported one and began receiving a salary. If he wanted to get past this exhaustion, he needed to break through that problem as soon as possible. Rick got out of bed and saw that the door was closed. Melissa had left a drawing of a stern-looking hamster urging him to rest on the inner door. He smiled and pulled off the tape, momentarily wondering where she was before realizing that she was at work. Of course. Meanwhile, he had an entire day without any shifts to work at the gym. He needed to use it wisely, which meant not wasting a lot of time surveying. No, he needed to start with his new approach, and he thought he had a good lead. First, he made a few other preparations, like texting to meet up with Lisa. After that, he ate a bowl of cereal while doing his meditation, then ate two more. Damn, he was hungrier than he'd expected. Hopefully that would be enough fuel to get him through the day, because he didn't have much food that was handy for taking along on his trip out of town. After that, he biked over to East Park, since it was a convenient location for both of them. He found Lisa on a bench, enjoying the morning. She smiled broadly when she saw him and patted a box at her side.
This has more of my serum, plus my attempt at a mixture that increases perception. You're not relying too heavily on this, are you? These really are just experimental.
Actually, today shouldn't rely too much on my perception at all. Though he considered sitting down to chat with her, too much of him was eager to test out his new theory, so he just picked up the box. And the serum is just because it's good.
Oh, is it?
Lisa lit up, and he realized that he'd forgotten to compliment her on it before now. Definitely. It's hard to judge how much more effective it is than normal serum, but it's definitely better tasting and feeling. You might be able to improve it more, but I'd already buy it over normal serum.
That's a relief to hear. I've tried to approach a few massage clients with offers, and I've had mixed results, so I was getting a bit discouraged.
No, I think you're onto something. Rick put her box into his backpack and hefted it to one shoulder, already looking outward. I don't think a single thing you've given me has been actually harmful, so you have a good track record so far.
I'm glad to hear that. Rick, do you...
Lisa paused, a strange expression passing over her face.
But you're eager to get out of Branton to try something new, aren't you?
He winced that she saw through him so easily. You're right. Sorry, it's just that until I find an anomaly...
No, I understand.
Lisa got up and put a hand on his shoulder.
Good luck out there.
Her encouragement made him feel a lot lighter, and he looked forward to trying her mixture later. Perhaps after his first attempts, since he always needed a boost after unsuccessful searching. Buoyed by his rest and new motivation, Rick burned out of town at a rapid rate. Instead of approaching the area he'd been surveying, he instead followed the highway that led to the site where they'd all been tested. Others had already swarmed that location, trying to look for residual lucrum that might offer a hint about finding other anomalies. Fortunately, Rick had no intention of going there. Instead, he stopped at the ramshackle gas station from before. It was just as deserted as the last time, and there was no sign of the old man, so he went and knocked on the door. After a long wait, the old man shuffled out, peering at him from under his bushy eyebrows.
"Hello again, Sonny. You didn't come all the way out here for cheap serum, did you?"
"You gave me a good deal, but no." Rick glanced around on instinct, but there was absolutely no one anywhere near. "Last time I was here, you hoped that the GLA would clean up the area. Well, now I'm working for them. Are there any local lucrum-based problems you think could use a look?"
"Huh. Can't say anybody has ever come and asked that before."
The old man tapped his cane against the ground several times as he thought.
"There's more pests everywhere, but I think the biggest problem is that there are more feral dragons around lately. I think they have a nest up in the hills over there. I just haven't worked up to pushing them out yet."
Rick tried to keep his smile under control. "That sounds like exactly what I'm looking for. Can you show me where?" The old man was glad to point out the exact hills he meant and give him plenty more information about what he'd observed. Some of it was useless, and the story veered into complaints about local problems, but Rick listened patiently and gathered all the key details. Once he was done, he thanked the old man and headed out over the wilderness. He found the hills soon enough and raised his hands to try the surveying technique. The results were slightly higher than usual, but nothing that would have made him pause before. Sticking with his strategy of starting with concrete information, he kept doing readings in different locations until he finally found something. The aura passing between his hands hummed in response to something. It wasn't enough that he could feel it in the air, but he knew he was close to one of the anomalies. Rick grinned and struggled not to run, instead forcing himself to walk and keep focused on the aura, targeting the source. Though the hills distorted the exact location, he knew he was getting closer. One of the improvements Emily had suggested was theoretically supposed to help him survey an entire region. He'd just never been close enough to make use of it. Once he'd gotten about as close as he thought he could, he knelt down and focused on Emily's version of the technique. Instead of simply resonating with the nearby atmosphere, the flow of aura sent out testing spikes in multiple directions. The task had entirely consumed him when he heard the growl. Rick looked up, dropping the technique to raise his fists defensively, and found himself facing a dragon. It was a miserable-looking creature, its scales mangy, its mane torn and matted. Though old paintings presented them as larger than humans, this one was only as big as a medium-sized dog, albeit longer. Instead of undulating gracefully through the sky, it barely hovered at all, its claws skimming through the dirt. Even though he was face to face with a wild creature, Rick found himself feeling more pity than awe or fear. The dragon's ancestors had been symbols of luck and good fortune, yet this half-starved creature struggled to survive on the scraps humanity left behind. Other creatures had gone extinct without atmospheric lucrum to support them, and judging from this miserable creature, he wondered how long dragons could hold out. Rick shook himself, realizing that the dragon was wild and angry. If there was a nest, he was probably encroaching on it. Though he could definitely defend himself, Fighting the poor thing felt wrong. Instead, he rose to his feet and gathered up his aura around him, refusing to look away from the dragon's gaze. Several times it made a floating loop toward him, growling again, but he refused to give way. Rick couldn't quite remember whether or not you were supposed to raise your hands over your head with dragons or not, but he towered over the thing anyway. He expanded his aura into a larger area, and the dragon flinched back. After they went back and forth several times, it turned and rushed away, leaving him with only a glimpse of its flowing tail disappearing between the hills. The encounter left Rick less pleased with his progress. His surveying technique had gotten a signal, so he advanced on it. There were no more wild dragons, and he soon found his destination. It was just a space between two small hills, yet he knew that it was the right place. He could feel a slight throbbing in the sphere they'd given him, confirming it. The aura between his hands went wild as he got closer, and when he stepped into the space itself, he could feel Lucrum in the air around him. Rick actually gasped at the sensation, so similar to being paid Lucrum, and yet different in a way he struggled to describe. This was how the entire world had once been. For the first time, he went through the process of recording the local and Lucrum flow in the sphere they'd given him. It was easy, especially after his practice trying for bank jobs. Once that was done, all he needed to do was call in the specific report to fill out his forms. Yet the process took long enough that by the time he was finished, he was of several minds. His hand pulled out his phone and reached for the number he hadn't yet dared to call, yet the rest of him stopped the movement. Though he considered trying to absorb the Lucrum, he quickly realized that was foolish. The traces of natural Lucrum here might feel good, but they were nothing compared to the Lucrum he'd be paid for reporting it. What gave him greater pause was thinking about the poor dragon. If it lost this source of Lucrum, would it survive? Obviously, it had survived before the recent set of anomalies, but judging from its poor health, he wasn't sure how long it would last. Even if he tried to do something, what could he do? In the end, Rick decided that it would be foolish to give up his chance for the sake of an animal. He'd research more and see if something could be done, but he and Melissa needed this. Rick reached for the sphere and made the call. Chapter 16. Getting the Job. Though he'd expected to be escorted to some sort of official headquarters, Rick instead found himself meeting with CSLA staff in an unremarkable office building. It didn't even seem particular to them, just some cheaply rented space. Not that it really mattered, compared to the contract. He sat in a metal chair next to a folding table, reading over one of the most important contracts of his life. The woman in the green pantsuit was working on her phone, occasionally leaving to take a business call, so she didn't seem to care how long he took. Rick tried to go over all the fine print with all the suspicion he could muster, but to his surprise, it actually looked rather straightforward. It was far from ideal, but the contract was blunt about the disadvantages. He had no guarantee of future employment, no retirement benefits, and little authority from the GLA. Yet that didn't seem terrible to him compared to the salary, not to mention the performance bonuses. They even gave minimal health insurance, covering serious injuries but not chronic conditions. So it seemed like unless he failed to perform or did something grossly unprofessional, he'd have a well-paying job for the duration of the project. Not finding any hidden hooks, Rick stared at the paper a while longer, then signed in all the appropriate places.
"Good." The woman took the contract and slid it to one side of the table. "While you read, we finished analyzing the anomaly you located. It's a solid one, so you're off to a good start."
"Thanks. I was a bit unclear on what the minimum standards for performance are."
"It's a sliding scale. As anomalies become rarer, our minimum requirements will decrease. That clause is mainly in there to prevent anyone from meeting the qualifications and then collecting a paycheck for no work. If you keep working at your present rate, you can count on receiving considerably more than the base salary."
Despite himself, he smiled. "Oh, then I'm not the last person to find one."
"That reminds me, I need to issue you your proper equipment."
The woman reached under the table, where there should have been nothing, and came up with a wooden sphere and a slip of paper. Rick saw that there appeared to be an ID and password on the paper, but puzzled over the sphere before she explained.
The ether sphere we gave you at the trials was simply a generic tool without any proprietary technology. This is what you'll be using to measure and record Lucrum.
Does it work any differently? Rick picked it up carefully, noting that it seemed much stranger than the original. That one was like a dull marble for storing Lucrum, but this was built from ether-enchanted wood. If his life became less hectic, he'd need to spend more time analyzing it.
The differences would be immaterial to your work. We do expect you to take care of it, but if it's destroyed, it will just be a small deduction from your paycheck. In any case, perhaps more important is your account information. Our network is accessible from your phone, but you can't access anything useful without the permissions in that account.
What kind of information?
Updates about the terms of the contract, potentially information relevant to all surveyors, and a few additional functions like the merit scoreboard. Set a new username if you don't want your name to be visible to all the other candidates, by the way.
Got it. That seemed like a pointless step when they'd already put his name at the top of the list for everyone to see, but he didn't want to antagonize his new boss. Besides, he was interested in seeing what other information was there.
If there's nothing else, you can go. In the future, you can make reports via your phone.
Actually, Rick wasn't sure it was a good idea, but decided that he should ask. I noticed a feral dragon living near the Lucrum anomaly, probably feeding off it. Will anything be done for it? For the first time, the woman actually focused on him, as if her usual scripts had been interrupted. Yet, all she did was shrug.
Once the locations are noted, we clear the Lucrum via an extremely efficient extraction process. Any local wildlife will presumably go somewhere else. If you're really concerned about them, you can engage some kind of conservation program, but that's extracurricular.
He nodded, inwardly relieved to find out that the dragon wouldn't be exterminated or anything. Her comment about conservation programs made him curious. So far in his life, he had been too focused on his own problems to think much about animals, but the half-starved dragon had struck him. If there was some way he could do his job in a way that harmed Lucrum beasts less, he wanted to take it. That was a concern for another time, though. Rick thanked her and headed out of the blank office back into the waiting room. It was nearly as spare, but it had a few folding chairs. He sat down in one and did as she said, logging in with his new ID. There was no need for an app or any kind of installation, so other than sucking up his data allowance, he approved. First, he looked for announcements, but those areas seemed to be empty. The only areas with any content were the scoreboard and a tiny forum with a few pointless threads. After glancing at the latter, he pulled up the scoreboard. 1. Elliot Rutherford III, 114 merits. 2. Panju, 76 merits. 3. Kate Durham, 73 merits. 4. Redacted, 70 merits. 5. Skin Master Zero, 51 merits. 5. Oswald, 51 merits. 5. Heidi Cunningham, 51 merits. 8. Damien, 50 merits. 8. Machk Baron, 50 merits. 10. Javiera Banks, 49 merits. 15. Jack Gannas, 47 merits. 16. Rick Hunter, 46 merits. 17. Harley Wilson, 22 merits. It seemed like it only showed him the top 10 and those candidates close to him by default, though he found a settings menu. Since Rick was more interested in getting a steady salary than in winning any contest, he didn't care. Admittedly, a competitive part of him wanted to see his name rise in the list. Not seeing any other Ricks, he erased his last name for whatever good it would do. On his own display, it still showed his name, but allegedly it was invisible to others. Notably, finding one good anomaly had been worth more than all the points granted during the initial trials. That fit with what he knew about the CSLA so far. They wanted results above all else. So the top candidates had pulled ahead by finding an anomaly, and he had just joined them. Though it looked like the top several people had found two different anomalies, and one person had somehow found three already, he wasn't doing badly. Despite everything, Rick sat back in his chair and smiled in relief. He'd signed a legal contract, and he trusted such a large organization to at least follow the letter of the law. That meant that he had a new job. Not just that, but one better than his parents or any of the local members of his family had ever gotten, even before bonuses were considered. Now he could officially quit his job at the House of the Cosmic Fist and move upward.
"Looks like there's hope for you after all."
The voice made Rick leap to his feet, even before his mind had caught up with what he was hearing. Across the room, having just opened the outer door, Alger stood in another ridiculous suit. He tipped a bright green top hat in his direction and continued.
"Usually the GLA is horribly, dreadfully dull, but they've actually put together something fun with this little contest. Maybe it will stretch you enough for you to be interesting again."
Rick knew that the last thing he wanted was for Alger to be interested in him, but felt like he had to ask. "Why are you here? You aren't working for them too, are you?"
"Don't be ridiculous. That wouldn't be much fun for a start. I simply have some business to take care of. Lovely coincidence to run into you here."
Was it a coincidence, or was Alger actually stalking him? The oddly dressed man moved past him, humming a song under his breath, and entered the room with the CSLA employee. After staring after him a while, Rick decided that even if this encounter was random, Alger's presence was not. The man had fingers in far too many pies. What did his presence here mean, though? Rick headed out and manifested his bike, but couldn't get his thoughts off it. He didn't think his expectations for the job had been too unrealistic, yet he'd allowed himself to feel optimistic. It still felt like the right decision. He just hoped he wasn't wrong. Chapter 17. Stepping Between Paths.
"You're leaving."
Jimmy set down his magazine and gave a more irritable than average grunt.
"This is a bad time. I need you to pull extra shifts next weekend because there's a fighter convention in town."
Rick just shook his head. "I'm serious about resigning. Thank you for years of employment, but I need to move on."
"Damn it, kid. I know I shouldn't have let you get away with that crap with your sister. Don't show your face in here again."
"Oh, come on, Jimmy." It felt strange to call his boss by his first name, but Rick just pressed forward. "I didn't storm out like Henry. I'm giving you the notice you wanted. And I got Melissa working here and covering most of my clients. I don't see what else I could do other than work in your gym forever."
Jimmy stared at him for a long moment, then grunted.
"The fact that it could be worse doesn't mean I have to like it."
"You ungrateful kid.
Get out of here and get beat up less often."
"I didn't expect you to get so sentimental on me."
"Nah, at least tell me how long your sister is gonna stay."
"That's up to her, but..." Rick decided that it would be stupid to leave on bad terms with his old boss, even if he wasn't likely to need a reference given his current job. "She'll be taking exams in another 2 months. If I know anyone else interested, I'll send them your way, but that's the best I can do."
"Oh, now you're getting uppity."
Jimmy snorted and picked up his magazine again. That was the end of the conversation, so Rick turned and left the House of the Cosmic Fist. For the last time. Though not really. Most likely he'd visit Melissa a few times for one reason or another, but once she was gone, he had no real connections to the place. Even though the departure was overdue, it left him melancholy. He'd worked there for most of his life after high school graduation, and for all the negative parts of the job, it had built his foundation as a fighter. All in all, he wasn't too sentimental. Shaking it off, Rick manifested his bike and headed out. Though he knew that he was unlikely to find another anomaly so quickly after the first, he wanted to throw himself into the new job. The previous day, he'd visited the old man at the gas station again, but hadn't gotten any specific leads. Later, however, he'd expanded the same strategy and stumbled across something. On one of the local Branton websites, there were a lot of requests for a fighter to help put down pests. It was the sort of temp job he had ignored before, but now he wondered if they weren't symptoms of a larger problem. Based on the request locations, they seemed to be concentrated near the southern suburbs, so he hoped that would be a good place to start. Once he got there, he wasn't certain how he was going to start. But as it turned out, that didn't matter. He was still just biking south when he felt a huge disruption of lucrum. Rick stood up and pedaled harder to reach the disturbance. It seemed to be on the edge of a golf course, of all things. Rick had no idea what to think of that, but almost all his attention was absorbed by the people involved, there were uniformed security officers on one side and a large bunch of fighters on the other. As he recognized some of them from the previous CSLA trials, Rick realized that it was more complicated than that. There were at least two groups of fighters, and all three factions seemed angry with one another. When he got near, he hopped off his bike and tucked it into his pocket. He was still too far away to hear anything about what was being said, at least without a sensory core, which seemed like a terrible investment given how many other things he needed urgently. So he stepped onto the grass and moved closer until someone moved to intercept him.
"You can fuck back off where you came from."
A wiry man stepped into his path with a glower. He wore a sleeveless shirt that revealed intricate tattoos snaking from his biceps all the way down to his fingers. His generation rate was about 35,000 lucrum, but he seemed to know what he was doing.
"This place is ours."
"You think there's an anomaly there?" Rick asked, trying to look over the man's shoulder. The tattooed man stepped forward and shoved him in the chest.
"I said fuck off. Whoever gets credit, we're not going to let you sneak in and steal our find."
"Look, man, I'm really not trying to steal anything." Rick made himself not look at the golf course and instead just smiled at the tattooed man. "I'm guessing you guys saw the same thing I did in the local ads, but you got here way earlier. Whatever the problem is, I won't challenge you for anything. I'm really just curious about what's going on."
"I know you better than that, you smug little bastard."
The man lowered his center of gravity and began to let aura flow down his arms.
"You smile and act all nice now, but you'll cheat in the end."
Getting a bit nervous, Rick dropped into a defensive stance as well. "I seriously have no idea who you are. What is this about?"
"You beat the shit out of my little cousin in that big tournament. Worse, you were working for that icy bitch. If we were alone..."
The man jerked two fingers across his neck. Despite the cliché threat, Rick swallowed. Apparently, he'd made a real enemy at the tournament. "Fine. If you feel that strongly, I'll go..."
"Maybe I won't let you go after all."
Whoever the man was, he lunged forward. Not terribly fast, but there was aura burning down the tattoos on his arms to concentrate in his fist. Rick automatically shifted to the side, slapping the blow away from him with one hand. To his shock, that hand hurt. An instant later, the man struck again with his other arm, this blow coming faster. Rick blocked with a raised forearm on instinct just before the burning fist connected. A cry of pain tore itself from his lips, and Rick staggered backward. For a moment, he thought his arm might actually be broken, but what really stunned him was that his defensive core was actually cracked all the way through. How had there been so much power in that strike? When the man came at him again, Rick leapt back with a bunion step. His opponent didn't seem to have an equally fast speed, but he ran at a good rate. How the hell did he have so much power? Rick's first estimate of 35,000 lucrum still seemed accurate, so the power must be from invested cores. Was this rough-looking, tattooed man, who would have fit in at the trailer park back home, really capable of the kind of advanced investment Emily had hinted at?
"That's right, you little shit."
The man grinned and advanced on him, his tattoos glowing fiercely.
"You think you're the only one who's had a rough life? I bet I can beat the hell out of you before security gets here."
With that, he lunged, and Rick had to admit that the odds didn't look good. His opponent had an unknown amount of lucrum invested into strong cores and seemed to have the experience to back it up. Worse, he was speeding up the longer the battle went on. This wasn't an opponent like Mike who was fumbling around with his parents' lucrum. It was the thought of Mike that saved him. When the man swiped out, aura burning, Rick ducked underneath his hand and hammered an elbow into his chest. His opponent staggered, and Rick used a bunion step to shoot back out of range before another blow hit him. Okay, so this guy had pretty good defenses too. But that didn't matter, because the security guards were beginning to notice their fight now. Whatever happened, the local security and other fighters wouldn't let him be murdered in the street. So instead of dodging to run out the clock, Rick ran in. He managed to land a blow on his opponent by surprise before a fist hit his ribs. He hadn't even seen it, just felt the pain shoot through his torso. If not for his defensive core, he would have had several shattered ribs, and his core was in bad shape. He could take it if the fight didn't last for long, though. Rick actually spent lucrum fueling his offensive core and kicked at his opponent's hip. He used a bunion step to add as much momentum as possible and felt the blow connect. Somehow, the tattoo man rolled with the force, spinning in place and backhanding him. Rick flew back, slamming into the ground and tasting blood all throughout his mouth.
"Now you'll pay!"
The man advanced on him, drawing even more aura into his tattoos. Judging from his eyes, it looked like he might strike to kill, even with everyone watching. Rick started to wonder if he'd made a mistake and scrambled backward, trying to pull together his defensive core in time. Though he refused to give up and his mind was scrambling for ways to fight back, he had to admit it looked grim. His defensive core was basically shredded, so another blow would devastate his body. Not only was his opponent fast and tough, he was about as good at hand-to-hand combat. This wasn't a fight he could win. No, maybe he had already lost.
"Nice day for a round of golf, isn't it?"
The line came out of nowhere, and both of them turned to stare at Damien, who was standing just to the side. He had definitely not been there a moment before. Currently, he stood with a golf club leaning across his shoulders as if he really was just there to golf instead of stepping into the middle of a bloody fight.
"Stay out of this!"
The tattooed man jabbed a hand at him, the aura in one finger intensifying even more.
"Don't defend him, and don't even think about stealing the Lucrum anomaly."
"Is there an anomaly here?"
Damien's eyes went wide, and he turned to Rick with a look of exaggerated surprise.
"I had no idea. I was just visiting my favorite country club when the—"
While Damien was looking away, the other man lunged for his throat. Yet Damien pulled the golf club off his shoulders with unnatural speed, whipping it around so that it hit his opponent in the face. Unsupported by aura, the golf club crumpled against a defended opponent, more stunning him than doing any damage. Maybe that had been the point. The tattooed man stumbled to a halt in surprise, thrown off his assault. By that time, security was moving closer and the other fighters were beginning to approach the tattooed man. Judging from their expressions, he wasn't supposed to have gone off picking fights. The man glowered at Rick one last time before letting the aura in his arms fade and stalking off with the others. Rick pretended he wasn't so shaken and got to his feet. As he started to walk away, he took personal inventory and tried to tell himself that it had been worth it. Even if he had lost and come near to injury or death, he hadn't taken any actual injuries. It would take him a lot of time to repair his defensive core, but it would be stronger for the encounter. That would be good in general and potentially life-saving if this lunatic attacked him again.
"Just who was that?"
Rick asked the question without really looking to see if Damien was there, because he was pretty sure the other man would follow.
"Goes by the name of Jack Ganass, I believe."
Damien tapped the broken golf club against the ground as if it was a cane.
"I marked him out as a dangerous one, but he had more offensive power than I had estimated."
"Sorry you ruined your golf club defending me."
"Oh, don't be. I stole this on the way here."
Rick stopped walking and stared at Damien. "Just what are you up to?"
"Eh, I saw there were too many people here to get the anomaly, so I just wanted to have some fun and check out the competition."
That actually sounded like it might be the truth, so Rick nodded in acceptance. Since he had the other man's attention, he decided it was worth asking a further question. "Do you know how he had that much raw strength? It was definitely more than a generation rate of 35,000 Lucrum could support." Damien eyed him coolly for an uncomfortably long moment, then turned away back to the golf course.
"If you don't know, I'm not going to give you a remedial lecture. You look like you're used to being in over your head, but this time, maybe discretion is the better part of valor."
Though Rick wanted to demand more answers, at that moment, Damien glowed with a soft red aura and sped away in a deceptively flowing movement. It was possible that he hadn't given up on stealing this anomaly from everyone else. Rick definitely wouldn't put it past him. The encounter left him more than a little thrown off. For one, his plan to gather mundane information to find Lucrum anomalies was clearly not as brilliant as he thought. Tons of other people had already thought of it, and they'd be all over any other public information. The competition would only get worse from here, and that was before he considered that Damien wasn't really on his side. But the worst part of it was obviously Jack and his aggressive attack. His words had sounded sincere, but Rick honestly had no idea who he was talking about. He'd fought a lot of people in the multi-tier tournament and didn't think that he'd particularly started any vendettas against anyone. Yet now he had a very dangerous person coming after him. Add on top of that whatever power his opponent held, it was enough. His jacket, which had survived so many fights, was badly torn up. Rick had other plans for the day, but he put them off to go home and heal. Chapter 18. The Peakless Wildlife Refuge. Strangely, the injury was actually encouraging in the end. In the past, a loss like that might have been devastating. Yet now his sister wasn't in danger, he didn't need to worry about getting further injured at work, and he could afford to take a couple days off. The encounter was a setback, yes, but it was easy to see the positive side. Rick took those days to focus inward and rebuild his defensive core. The injuries might have been serious for some, but he'd built his core to endure breaking. Plus, compared to the devastating assault from Terrigen and the recovery via Deathbane, this wasn't nearly so serious. Still beneficial, especially if he ran into this Jack guy again. His recovery was even aided. First by Melissa, who had an experiment in reducing Lucrum clotting that only sort of worked and left him a bit singed. Second, and much more successfully, by Lisa, who took the opportunity to try recovery mixtures on him. Some were ineffective, but overall it was a benefit he never would have had before. He did think that Lisa was upset to find him injured, but she said nothing explicitly and he wasn't sure how to bring it up, or if he even should. In any case, he was pleased by how much progress he made. Once it would have been astonishing, but now he found himself looking upward and seeing how far he had to go. For one, he needed to figure out what techniques Jack was using to hide his power. Until he figured that out, all he could do was keep advancing along the same paths he knew. Rick got out his phone and checked his portfolio again. Name: Rick Hunter. Ether tier: 15th. Ether score: 299. Lucrum generation: 46,600. Effective rate: 44,658. Current Lucrum: 1,709. Rick Hunter's Lucruma portfolio. Foundation: 3,800, level 4. Offensive Lucor: 7,800, level 4. Defensive Lucor: 18,200, level 8. Bunyan Step: 8,150, level 5. Graham's Stake: 8,650, level 2. Aura Leech: -1,942, stage 1. Gross Lucrum: 46,600. Net Lucrum: 44,658. He was pleased to see that his defensive Lucor had finally been evaluated at a higher stage after so long stuck at the same level. Though Jack's assault hadn't been anywhere near as potent as Terrigen's, it dealt damage by different methods, so it had helped him grow substantially. His offense was lagging behind, but that had always been the case for him, and he could deal with it the next time he developed a new Lucor. The only thing that actually upset him about his portfolio was that his ether score had basically not increased and he was still on the same tier. Even if the agencies lagged, he felt as though getting his new job should have sent him shooting upward. Rick shook it off and put his phone away, deciding that he had spent long enough on strength development. Now that he was better, he needed to get back to work. He couldn't afford to slack off if he wanted to meet his quotas, much less rank on the scoreboard. Intentionally ignoring the scores, Rick instead just checked the announcements and the forums. There was a message to everyone allegedly just reminding them that they didn't carry GLA authority, probably a reprimand to those who had gotten involved in the fights. A few angry messages on the forums suggested that there was still conflict over the anomaly on the golf course. He checked the scores after all, trying not to dwell on them, and saw that only one person's score had increased and some had even decreased. Maybe a penalty for causing trouble. Since that was still a mess, Rick decided to take an entirely different approach. If he headed north of the city, he could potentially take care of two things at once, plus stay away from the conflict. After gathering his equipment, Rick headed out. In his time off, he He'd thought more about the half-starved dragon and the comments made by the Lucrum Authority employees. That had led him to research on local conservation efforts, which turned out to be a deeper rabbit hole than he'd expected. Most were concerned with simpler matters like prairie restoration, but one in particular seemed to have Lucrum expertise that might be up to the challenge. The Peakless Wildlife Refuge lay some distance north of Branton. He wasn't sure whether the name was a statement of strength or a dry joke about the area being flat, but either way, they seemed best qualified to deal with such issues. It was so far away that he seriously considered not taking his bike, but in the end, he decided to stick with it. Along the way, he did his best to meditate while biking. It was challenging to maintain the aura flow necessary to accelerate the bike while simultaneously going through the exercises, but at least it was engaging. Between the familiar rhythms of meditation and the tricky new challenges, the time it took him to cross the city and reach the refuge melted away. Once he arrived, however, he wasn't sure exactly where it began. There were a few fences and signs forbidding hunting, but otherwise they didn't seem big on boundaries. The Peakless Wildlife Refuge was a region of many acres, after all, and enforced only by local organizations instead of the government. He'd checked satellite maps before going, and the headquarters were definitely supposed to be in this direction. Unlike the other refuges, it didn't have an easily accessible office. He hadn't been able to look at the roads online and had assumed that they would be clearer in person. Yet, after a while biking back and forth near the relevant area, not seeing a sign about it, he decided that it must not be so simple to find. Rick started by wandering from the highway onto a dirt road, then a gravel one where he had to put his bike away. From there, he followed a trail deeper, becoming steadily more convinced that he was actually going the wrong way. Yet, after having gone this far... Getting frustrated, Rick closed his eyes and took several deep breaths. Those barely helped him calm down, but while he was focused, something tickled at the edge of his senses, almost like the feeling he'd gotten when Lucrum was in the air. Suddenly motivated, Rick opened his eyes and looked around for any signs of an anomaly. None visible, so he raised his hands and began flowing the surveying technique between them. At first he was excited by the above-average response, yet as he moved, the response didn't decrease or increase. This entire region had just a bit of Lucrum in the atmosphere. It didn't make any sense that it could be naturally falling, so he had to assume that it came from some other source. Perhaps if the Peakless Wildlife Refuge really did keep many plants and animals that used Lucrum, they just put a bit of it back in the environment. Though he could have drained it from the air, he estimated it would only be a few dozen Lucrum and decided against it. The animals needed it more anyway. Even if he wasn't close to a particular source, Rick kept trying the surveying technique as he walked. If there was an anomaly here, it could easily have escaped notice due to the environment. Since he was going to end up wandering, looking for the right place anyway, he might as well survey the area. To his surprise, before he found the office, he actually got a stronger response from the technique. Rick began trying to feel out the exact location, though he spent less time staring at the aura and more looking around him. There was a chance that the source was a dangerous wild animal that used Lucrum. He wasn't sure if it worked that way, but didn't want to take the risk. Far from being threatened, he actually found himself relaxing. The trees were ancient and solid, the undergrowth was lush, and wildlife moved all around him. Though the birds stopped singing and flew away when he got close, there were enough of them that he was still surrounded by birdsong. Though Rick was more comfortable in the city, and for him, camping was something rich people did, he had to admit that the forest was peaceful. Not just in the natural quiet compared to the city, but something that went deeper than that. It was just an impulse, yet he found himself thinking that this was the right place, despite getting a bit lost. He didn't know if they could catch a feral dragon and release it here in the refuge, but he thought they might know what to do with it. He was getting closer to the source, or at least the aura between his hands was vibrating more strongly. Keeping up the technique while walking was starting to get inaccurate, though, because his control wasn't perfect. When he found an area of clean rock, he knelt down and focused fully on the technique, doing Emily's advanced version to get a better sense for the area. There was more natural variation here, but that didn't remind him of a Lucrum anomaly. He did think there was one, but wasn't sure if it was west or northwest. Otherwise, the only Lucrum was an immensely powerful mass directly beside him.
"You shouldn't have come here."
The voice spoke at the same time Rick realized that it was a Lucor. Opening his eyes, he found himself staring at a shotgun aimed at his face. Chapter 19. The Protector of the Earth. As many dangerous situations as he'd been in, Rick hadn't ever faced down a gun quite like this. That was good, because otherwise his instincts might have led him to strike back or jump away, and judging from the man holding the shotgun in his face, that would have been a bad move. Though his face was lined, it had the well-preserved look of a Lucrum master. His hair hung down his back in a jet-black tail, but his eyes were darker yet. Rick got a brief sense of the man's jeans, plain shirt, and bolo tie, but his attention was mostly captured by the gun aimed at him. The relevant thing was that the man was hiding his Lucrum assault with a shield that felt quite strong on its own.
"Okay, haven't seen you before."
The old man stared down at him coldly.
"So, I'll just escort you out, for the next time you decide to trespass."
"Wait, I wasn't trying to trespass." Rick raised his hands to either side of his head and kept his aura down. Not that it would matter much if the shotgun was using Lucrum rounds like he suspected. "Do you work for the Peakless Wildlife Refuge?"
"In a manner of speaking."
Though the man pulled back and flipped his gun to rest on his shoulder, his aura of hostility didn't decrease.
"I'm here to keep people like you out."
Rick licked his painfully dry lips and considered before replying. Though it was possible that the refuge met all trespassers with threats, he doubted that. Perhaps the man thought he was there to poach endangered animals, but given the question of how he'd been tracked,
"I'm guessing that you think I'm just here to find a Lucrum anomaly in the refuge."
"Are you telling me that's not what you're doing?"
"I won't claim that, but that's not the main reason I'm here."
He wished that he'd brought some sort of proof, but what? A picture could easily have been faked, and a piece of the animal would probably just make things worse for him. "I'm here because the CSLA told me that if I wanted to do anything about the local impact of our work, I needed to do it on my own time.
Do you, work in conservation?"
"Not exactly."
That got a bit of a wry smile, though no lessening of the hostile aura.
"What noble cause are you here to champion?"
Something about his tone was off, though Rick couldn't quite parse it. He decided to just be direct.
"I don't even know, man, but the last time I found an anomaly, there was a half-starved dragon trying to feed off it. I was just wondering if there was a way I could do my work without doing any unnecessary harm."
The man simply stared at him. Though Rick wanted to remain silent and confident, he soon ended up speaking again.
"Is there any way I could capture Lucrum using creatures to be released out here, or would that mess up the whole sanctuary's ecosystem? I don't really know what I'm doing, so I just wanted to ask some experts about it."
"Huh."
Finally, the man stopped toying with the handle of his shotgun, and his eyes became less hostile.
"That didn't sound like a lie."
"If you're not going to shoot me, are you saying that there have been other surveyors coming into the Peakless Wildlife Refuge to try to find the anomaly?"
"That's right."
"I won't lie. I want to get paid, so I'd like to find and report it. But if that's an offense worth shooting over, I can understand. What's your concern here?
Wait, is the anomaly actually beneficial?
Is there any way we could come to an agreement about this?"
Abruptly, the man cracked a smile, though it seemed a slightly mocking one.
"Well, you're earnest. I'm not promising you anything, but maybe we can talk. Come this way and tell me exactly what the CSLA is trying to do lately."
It was strange to run into someone who actually knew less about the subject than he did, so Rick didn't mind explaining. He followed the man off the trail in a random direction, resisting the urge to repeat the aura technique. Fortunately, Rick didn't actually know much information that wasn't public knowledge, so he was able to explain what he knew fairly quickly. Before he finished, they drew near a small hill with a cabin set atop it. The building was remarkably rustic, but he took it as a good sign the man didn't plan to shoot him, unless he had tools to dismember a body in the cabin.
"That's not the Peakless Wildlife Refuge office, is it?"
Rick asked.
Huh. No. I have family who actually manage the work of the shelter, and I mostly leave their work alone. My job is to enforce the rules, stop poachers, and deal with any serious problems that come up. Except it isn't really a job, just a favor to family. I respect what they're doing here, you see.
Sorry, but I don't think I've caught your name yet.
I didn't say it.
Do you plan to?
Nah.
They stood in silence for a while, sternness returning to the old man's eyes.
I'm not going to shoot you, but I think it might be easiest to just eject you from the refuge. A name is not something a man merely hands out, but something that is earned.
Suit yourself. I'm Rick. A shadow of something passed over the old man's eyes, then his expression turned more severe.
Take this seriously, young man. You should know that if we come to any agreement, you are not simply signing some modern contract or working for some corporation. The Peakless Wildlife Refuge is run by our tribe, and we were ancient when your ancestors first set foot on this land.
Rick kept his mouth shut and just listened. He had suspected the man might have been native, it just hadn't been relevant. That was hardly notable for the region, and Rick had relatives who claimed they were 1/16th some tribe or another. It seemed like it was something the old man took very seriously.
I would consider making an agreement with you, because dealing with your surveyors is becoming frustrating, but that agreement would be a sacred bond. Tell me, have you had any dealings with any tribes of our region? Any promises, blood oaths, or vendettas?
I hope not. When the stare got more murderous, Rick hastened to explain. I don't know of anything like that, but I did fight in a tournament a few months ago. The Chayachita tribe was there, and I must have fought some of them. I have no idea who they were, though, and I don't think I started anything. He decided to keep quiet about the encounter with Jack and his unknown cousin.
The Chayachita. The man let out a loud snort. Babbling fools, the lot of them. They have long ago lost their way. But if you are unencumbered by such ties, then perhaps we can forge a bond. Are you open to such, young one?
What are the terms of the deal?
This is no deal, but an oath. Do you swear to uphold the earth and all its creatures? Do you swear to honor the sky for 1,000 generations? Do you swear to draw the memories of your ancestors into today and the day after?
Rick stared at the man for a painfully long moment, out of his depth and trying to get back to the surface. The old man looked deadly serious, but Rick had no idea what he was talking about. Though he was clearly supposed to agree, he wasn't going to swear oaths in flowering language like that. So, despite the increasing pressure from the old man, he swallowed and answered. I really don't know what any of that means.
Impudent fool!
Without warning, the old man crossed the distance between them, grabbing Rick by his neck and lifting him off his feet. Though Rick's defensive corps protected his neck, he could tell that the man wasn't squeezing and could apply deadly pressure.
Are you mocking the oaths of the earth?
No, I just don't
Such disrespect. Those words have been passed down for generations, and you spurn them.
Despite himself, Rick felt a flare of anger. He couldn't overpower his opponent, but he could grab his arm and push away to a safer distance. It would have been smarter to leave it at that, yet his mouth kept moving.
Are you seriously going to spout all of that at me and then just expect me to agree? Yeah, that was the idea.
To his shock, the old man shrugged. All the intensity in his expression was gone, replaced with a wry smile.
You'd be surprised what you can get people to agree with, if they think they can profit from it. I was planning to keep on going about painting with the colors of the wind and becoming blood brothers if you didn't stop me.
Rick stared, struggling to accept that the murderous glare had just been a joke.
You're telling me none of that was serious? That was some grade-A bullshit, believe me, but that doesn't mean it wasn't serious.
The man put the shotgun into a holster on his back and smiled.
I just wanted to get a better sense for who you were. Seems like you're all right, kid. Come on in, and I'll give you a beer. We can talk this out like normal folk.
Though Rick understood what had happened on one level, he was still catching up. He simply followed the man silently as they hiked up to the cabin. Fortunately, the man seemed happy to keep talking, all the false intensity having vanished from his posture and voice.
I wasn't just fucking with you for fun, even if you're a bit inexperienced. Something about you made me think that you might be good at lying. It feels like your lucrative soul has been through some rough fights, for example, the kind of thing people don't experience much in this age. I wanted to get a better sense for who you really were, and I find faux tribal bullshit is a good place to start.
Have you done this before? Does it work?
Oh, sure. Some agree out of terror, others get way too sincere, like they've been waiting their entire lives for an oath.
Rick hadn't thought through the subject in much detail, but he thought he could understand a little. Well, you do have the oldest combat sects in the nation. People want some of that respectability.
Of course they do.
The man rolled his eyes. At that moment, they reached the door to the cabin, and the man pulled it open. But Rick stayed back.
What? You're not coming in? No more shotguns in the face, I promise.
I still don't even know your name.
Right, of course. I am honored to bear the name Charging Buffalo.
Though the old man said it with complete sincerity, Rick found himself hesitating. He didn't want to make fun of anyone's name, but the way the other man's diction had become more formal struck him as wrong. I don't think that's true. The man, who was not called Charging Buffalo, grinned.
All right, you got me. My real name is Humping Turtle.
Rick narrowed his eyes.
Too far. Would you believe Running Bear?
No. Isn't this offensive? With another grin, the man extended a hand to shake.
Delson Lingering Ogre.
Though that one seemed strange, Rick thought that the mischievous spark in the old man's eyes was no longer at his expense. After a pause, he reached out and shook the man's hand. Glad to meet you. As I said, I'm Rick. Assuming you're not still fucking with me, what do I call you?
Oh, just Delson. Now, come on in. I really do want to talk to you.
Delson led them into the cabin, which was surprisingly well appointed. After a mat for scraping off dirt, there was a thick carpet and nice furniture. A flat-screen television covered most of one wall, and there was a fridge in one corner. It sounded like it was running, yet they couldn't have electricity out here, and there was no sound of a generator, so Rick had to assume there was some sort of lucrative power source.
Now, I don't know if you drink, but I was sincere about offering you a beer.
Delson wandered over to the fridge and opened it, staring inside.
I didn't used to, but then my youngest nephew started this microbrewery. I gave him shit for it, but damn if it isn't good. You want one?
Sure. Grabbing two bottles out of the fridge, Delson wandered to the central area and dropped down onto one couch.
All right, have a seat. Let's talk about this seriously.
Rick accepted one of the bottles carefully. He hadn't been given a bottle opener and didn't know any special tricks, but he decided that this was probably another test, so he just applied his cores to tear off the metal cap and then took a drink. Honestly, he didn't know enough about microbrews to be sure if it was worth anything, so he just sat down and took another sip. Delson took a long drink, then focused on him.
Okay, brass tacks. I'm not going to let you claim any lucrum anomalies in Peakless Wildlife Refuge. I suspect there are two, though we haven't been able to pin them down. But I can't let the CSLA come in here. My niece would kill me.
Would they do something bad? Rick shifted to get more comfortable, relaxing now that Delson no longer seemed to be testing him. They said they had an efficient extraction process, but I was worried they actually meant a scorched earth policy or something.
Nah, it's not like that. But my niece puts a lot of work into creating a slightly more natural lucrum environment here, and what they do would wreck it.
Delson sat forward and watched him seriously.
It seems like more of you are just going to keep showing up, so I have a counteroffer. You use their special technique to help me find them, but you don't take credit. In return, we'll show you an anomaly outside the refuge that you can claim.
Not the offer he'd expected, but Rick considered it seriously. You have some way of neutralizing the anomaly yourself.
That's right. Not me, personally, but my niece can dispel it into the environment. And if they have to hire a bunch of stooges like you, no offense, they don't have a comprehensive map of them, which means they don't know we have any. They might be suspicious, but our problem would be solved for now.
I think that sounds reasonable, but I need to find some way to keep my job. What about a one-for-one trade? For each anomaly I let you neutralize, you show me one elsewhere? I'll start with the first one as a show of good faith, but after that we can trade.
Fair enough.
Delson sat back and took a long drink from his bottle, apparently satisfied.
If you tried to strike a nastier bargain, I'd have just thrown you out and tried to copy the technique myself, since I watched for a bit before interrupting you. But honestly, I have better things to do with my time, and you seem like a decent kid, so we might as well work together.
Rick smiled back at him. Thanks. I'm glad we can come to an agreement, but what about my original question? Is there any way the dragon could be moved here?
Oh, you were serious about that.
That's why I came.
I figured you just threw that out to play to stereotypes.
Delson swung his bottle by the top idly for a bit, thinking.
I'm not the expert, but I think if it had mange and looked so starved that you could tell, the poor thing wasn't going to last. But if you find Lucrum using creatures that are in better shape, my family would probably be happy to take them. The local populations are almost always too low.
That's good to hear. I'll bow to whatever the experts say, of course, but I'm hoping my work doesn't do more harm than good.
Reasonable enough, kid. So, do we have a deal?
Delson extended his hand, completely serious this time. Rick stared at it for a bit, reflecting on just how large a turn this trip had taken, but in the end, reached out and grasped the other man's hand.
Deal.
Chapter 20. Aura Bear. After hiking for several hours, Rick was convinced that he didn't like hiking. Oh, there was a certain degree of beauty in the forests, and he could imagine how the world might look from atop a mountain, but after so long in the peakless wildlife refuge, he mainly wanted to go home. Long bike commutes or getting beaten up at the gym were better than this. He had Delson tagging along with him, though, so he needed to stay professional. At regular intervals, he knelt down to check the surveying technique again. Pinpointing Lucrum anomalies in the refuge was difficult due to the ambient Lucrum. Plus, the fact that there seemed to be more than one messed with his readings. Still, he was quite confident that they were getting closer.
You know, he said as he stood up,
it's strange that there would be more than one anomaly in the refuge. It's a big area, sure, but the others seem to be quite spread out for miles around Branton.
Must be a funny coincidence. A hilarious coincidence, even.
From the way Delson glanced at him, he didn't believe that at all. They hiked onward in the direction the technique had indicated for a while, Rick thinking about that. He didn't have a solution, but he could rule out a few things. I really doubt the refuge could be altering Lucrum flow on a global scale, and as far as I know, there's never anything special about one bit of land over another, so it has to be something else.
It does have to be something other than bad answers.
Yup. Delson gave him a bit of a smirk before having mercy.
I figure that these anomalies, though they're just the way Lucrum would normally flow, aren't just dropped from above. They start out as a trickle and either develop into problems or evaporate early on.
Oh, I guess that makes sense. Sometimes there'd be uneven Lucrum flow, but it would just fade away without causing an issue. The anomalies must need certain conditions to persist, and I suppose the refuge is a better environment for that to happen?
That's my guess. So you'll be doing us a favor, getting rid of them.
Rick nodded and continued hiking. Though he reflected for a moment on what Delson said about the Lucrum points being natural and the rest of the world being the anomaly, he wasn't sure it mattered. The GLA had been harvesting Lucrum for generations, and that wasn't likely to change. Humans had altered the natural world in countless ways, and this was just another one. He was about to bring up something else when he heard a growl. On instinct, he turned, then froze as he realized he was staring at a bear. Not just any bear, but a massive beast the size of a van. Worse than that, there was a patch of fur on its chest that was deep red. Though the bear didn't seem angry at that moment, Rick remembered about aura bears from biology class. They were one of the few animals that could not just hold Lucrum like all living creatures did, but actually generate aura. If it was angered, it would turn dangerous, maybe even to him if it was old enough.
Hey there, Blue.
Delson walked straight up to the bear and clapped it on the neck. The bear let out a growl and reared up, towering over them. It brought down paws the size of manhole covers onto Delson's head and then just sort of pawed at him. When Delson began to rub its stomach and the bear rumbled louder, Rick realized that it wasn't attacking at all. He still wanted to back away, but found himself just staring at the massive creature. Is it tame?
Nope. I found Old Blue here as a cub and helped raise him, but a wild animal is never tame. If you're not capable of dealing with it, doing this with a wild animal is just stupid.
Then,
by the way, you might want to stop talking.
Though Rick closed his mouth as soon as the warning came, it was too late. The bear, Blue apparently, turned toward him. It advanced a few steps on its hind legs, paws held in an odd, tucked position that would have been cute if it wasn't a massive carnivorous predator.
Delson, is Blue going to attack me?
No, but that doesn't mean...
Delson cut off as the bear advanced again, moving up alongside the animal and patting it on the side.
Calm down, Blue. It's just a guest. No need to get riled up.
Blue let out a roar and brought a paw down. It wasn't fast enough that Rick couldn't have dodged it, yet his instincts clashed. Part of him thought he should use a bunion step. Part of him hesitated due to warnings of running making predators chase you. That made him delay too long, and he only had time to brace his arms over his head when the paw slammed down. He managed to lean in and avoid the claws, but the raw force still vibrated through his body. Rick had braced his defensive core and was still shocked at how heavy the blow felt. More than that, it felt completely and utterly different from any attack he'd received from a human being. The bear let out a puzzled grunt and pulled its paw back. It dropped down onto all fours, head still over Rick, and stared at him as if curious. Since curiosity was better than murderous rage, Rick stayed where he was and tried to act non-threatening. Unfortunately, the bear sated its curiosity by reaching forward and swiping up at Rick. The blow sent him flying into the air, and he smashed into a tree trunk some distance away,